You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Thanks so much for making us your first listen each and every day. We are free and available on all platforms. My name is Matt Moore. I'm the senior NBA writer for the Action Network and the Nuggets insider for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. You can catch me routinely on the Nuggets postgame shows, which the Fan is going to start doing because they realize that the Nuggets exist. You can find my partner, Adam Mares, on his postgame show at DMVR at thedmvr.com. We are here for World's Finest recapping the Nuggets preseason. The Nuggets finally got a win, which, even though nobody played on Thursday in the back-to-back, I do think it's good just for vibes and general superstition not to go winless in preseason. However, not the best preseason for the Denver Nuggets. We're going to talk in the first segment about what we're concerned about in preseason with the big caveat. We know it's preseason. We'll talk about why, even though it's preseason, but we're concerned it's preseason. And then the second segment, we're going to talk about maybe why that we're not concerned about it and why it might wind up being okay. And the third segment, we're going to look back at where we were to start the preseason and where we are going into the final weekend of practices before the regular season begins next Wednesday for the Denver Nuggets. So, Adam Mares, I will open this question to you. 1-3 preseason. Things did not go smoothly for a variety of reasons.
I think they were 1-4.
1-4? 1-4. That's right. You're right. 1-4. What is your concern level? I like the DEFCON levels. So 5 is fine. 4 is 3 is I'm a little worried. 2 is yikes. And then 1 is the Pelicans. So on that scale, where are you?
I'm probably a 3, but I probably should be a 4. I mean, I should be like, okay, there's some things that now I see I should be worried about. But here's the thing. I remember this from last year, Matt. Everything seems bigger than it is in preseason, in part because we're out of practice. We're out of practice reacting to things. So you forget just how many little like mini disasters pop up from time to time. So I think I should be a 4, but I would say there's a couple things that are making me move a little bit closer towards 3 where I'm just kind of like, I'm going to have my eye on this.
You know, who's really good at this is Harrison Wind. I feel like I think the Wind has like the best level of perspective. He's very good about like, there are just times after losses where he'll just be like, yeah, it was another one of those. Yeah. Like, you know, everybody like, oh, I don't know. Like, I think that they're in real, you know, and there are times when he'll pick up on, no, the team's in a bad place, but he has a real level of like, it's just going to be one of like, it was one of those games. He's done this enough to have learned that. So it was interesting. The starters dominated the first 3 matchups, right?
Right.
Like
they really, Warriors. Did. It's important that's a thing.
Warriors, Clippers, Wolves, the starters look great. And then in the game in which they probably needed to look the best, the final quote-unquote dress rehearsal, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, they shit the bed versus the Thunder.
They really did.
And you could tell the level of stress that put Malone on. I suggested this to Ryan Blackburn on the phone today. I'm not entirely sure that the team doesn't do this stuff on purpose just to mess with him. Like, it's in that same territory as why do they keep losing to the Kings?
Right. Oh, like, yeah. That is a territory for sure.
Where you're just like, really? You can't. 3 times you lose to the Kings?
Of all the teams that have your number, it's the one that Malone would least like to have your number. Yeah.
And you know that Malone was like, okay, we're playing pretty well, but I really don't want to go winless in preseason. Let's beat the snot out of this Thunder team, and then we can coast into preseason and I'll feel fine.
Right.
And that was the game the starters just happened to play the absolute worst in.
Yeah. The reason I would say maybe that you didn't touch on where maybe that is concerning is, you know, they looked good those first 3 games, like you mentioned, but there was always somebody out. You know, Barton missed obviously all 3 of those. Porter missed 1. Jokic missed 1. They played together for 1. So the one where they had the guys that will be the starters on opening night is the one they looked the worst. And I think that's part of it. And it goes hand in hand with the reason, again, all of that together, honestly, I would be at DEFCON 5, right? Total peacetime. But the reason it moves up to me is in that fourth game, that one against Oklahoma City, the chemistry between Porter and Jokic was just off. And frustrated Jokic made a few appearances in that game. And that's like, if you look at the things that can most go wrong for the season, obviously that's at the top of the list, you know, a Porter-Jokic disconnect. And they just didn't look in sync in that game. And they didn't really look at sync in any portion of this preseason for an extended period. And again, I don't think you can read too much into it, but it's just, it went from something that I assumed was going to happen to like, all right, well, first 5-10 games, I'm going to be looking for that.
I got to tell you, I know he looked, the numbers were good in that first game. I generally speaking do not think Michael Porter Jr. has played or looked good. I feel, and it's more a matter of, it's less of like shooting performance. Like with Aaron Gordon, I'm just simply like, you're going to have to make a hook shot at some point in your life, sir. Like that's where I'm at with Gordon is I'm just like, man, if you're going to challenge inside and if you're going to be this complimentary scoring option that you want to be, you're going to have to make some of these bunnies. You're just going to have to. And yeah. I don't know if you can. Yeah. Versus Porter, it is genuinely some of the stuff that we saw early last year where the big conversation until the Celtics game and his rebound from that was, I don't know why, but it doesn't seem like Michael Porter Jr. knows how to play 5-on-5.
Right.
And that's been, like, you're talking about the stuff with Jokic. I saw that when I was at the Wolves game. The first 5 minutes of that game right. was Jokic trying to get Porter involved. And it was like, Porter did the exact wrong thing, like each sequence. When he should have shot, he drove. When he should have drove, he shot. When he drove into a 9-1-1 shot that he had to pass out to Dozier, who had to catch it and toss up a three in midair. Like,
right.
It was just these things of like not, and that's before we get to all the defensive stuff, right? Like, I don't even,
right.
That's a whole other bag.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know what you, again, this is the thing with Porter, where like, I don't know what you do with it. You kind of, and this, I will say, I think is a little bit frustrating as somebody who watches the Nuggets. And I wonder how much the team feels this way. It feels like when Porter makes mistakes, it has to be forgiven because of his talent. And everybody else is held to a different standard, either because of their experience.
I don't know about that, but okay. But talent. I don't know if I would go that far with it. Here's what I would say. We have a good sample size of the two of them working. It's never looked natural, and it's never looked like, you know, the Murray Jokic two-man game looks, where it's just like, okay, these guys share a brain and everything. But it's always worked in terms of the numbers. You know, the playoffs, of course, they ran into a wall, but shorthanded. But even last year when Murray went down, Porter stepped up. They played great. They won a bunch of games. So I know that, like, what happens in the preseason all has to be taken with a grain of salt. It's just that part I was hoping would pick up where it left off, which is to say, I was hoping it'd be like, okay, we're starting from a higher baseline. And at least in the preseason, I'm with you. It's looked like we're starting over again on that baseline. And I would disagree with you that Porter hasn't looked good. I think he looked good in the first game when Jokic did not play. And that's where he looked his best and most comfortable. And
again, that's problem. Yeah.
I want to put a big caveat here. Our job is to talk about the Denver Nuggets 5 days a week. Inevitably, we're going to be reacting to things in the moment, and it's going to sound like we are speaking about how things are always going to be or whatever. This is just, we're talking about the temperature of right now and our takeaway from the preseason. And that's one of them. It's by no means going to doom the season or won't even, maybe it'll be sorted out on opening night. I mean, it's entirely possible. It's just, if you're asking me like, what things am I thinking about following 5 preseason games, that's something I'm thinking about that I didn't expect to, at least to this degree, a week ago.
I think a way for me to describe it, because I pay so much attention to the regular season and how it evolves, I am not expecting the Denver Nuggets to get off to a hot start. I don't, and I could be wrong. Like, I'm not like committed to that take or prior. Like I'm trying very hard not to be attached to priors this season. And so I'm trying hard not to be like, this is absolutely going to happen. And then if it doesn't happen, be like, well, no, it's like, okay, I, you know, this is like where I'm at and I'm open to being wrong, but this is like based off of what I've seen. Like, I think that Suns loss on opening night, I, at this point, would be surprised if they got a win. And that's not,
yeah, that's a tough game, but I also agree with you.
Yeah. It's like, it was a tough game anyway.
Yeah.
If they had looked awesome in preseason, would I feel a little better? Yeah. Just because you'd just be like, you know what? They look like they are in sync. They look like they are locked in. And there are teams that are doing that. One of the things I think is problematic for them, and this is a very general thing defensively, is that because they know that this is going to be a long season and they know that they've got the playoffs in front of them. And because they've done this before, like preseason doesn't necessarily get their juices going. They are in that zone where a lot of teams are. A lot of teams, most of the teams are in the zone in the NBA of just like, no, I'm not going to go that hard in preseason. It's preseason, right? Like,
and Jokic of all people has earned that. Like, maybe that's part of this for him, but he's earned it. Like, he's now a veteran player who played all 72 games last year. So if he didn't take this preseason seriously, it would be understandable.
But my problem, I think, is on a team level, their defense is not going to be average unless they approach it with physicality and intent. Like, okay, they're going to have to make up for physical limitations on the roster, whether it's front court size, back court size, or other factors in between. They're going to have to make up for it with effort and intensity. And there are teams that have approached the preseason trying to set that tone. And you look at them and you go like, look at you trying too hard in the preseason. But that's the whole thing. It's like they're trying to set a tone.
Yeah.
Because they know they haven't done anything. Like the Wolves, I think, are really the best example of this. Like the Wolves were like, it's, I understand if somebody watched that Wolves Nuggets game was like, look at these clowns. Like they're like try hard in the preseason.
Right.
But the Wolf, if you watch all of the Wolves games, they did this in every game because they're actively trying to reset a culture.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And the Nuggets, on the other hand, like they know they're going to be pretty good. They know they're going to be a playoff team. They know that like it's a long season. They know that their goals are 7 months away.
Right.
And so they can't commit to that. But the only way that their defense, I think, is going to be even passable in the regular season is going to be if everybody commits at a high level. And I don't think they can in preseason. So, and I don't know if they can just turn it on come Wednesday either.
Right. Is there any other things that, so the Jokic, the Porter, the defense has been concerning? I mean, the defense looks definitely a step back from last year so far. And then the bench would be the other thing. I mean, yeah. The bench, even right now, I don't know who the bench is.
I'll just say it. I think they need a center.
Man, that's tough.
I just think they need a center. And the reason I think that they need a center, it wasn't really until I kind of like sat down and thought about it. They need somebody to make them to clean up for the mistakes that are inherent when you have the size that they have off the bench. Like that's their problem. You can switch 1 through 5 when you're hyper athletic. Like Jeff Green and Jamichael Green could play in a switch all scheme and be great if they were playing with guards that were 6'3", 6'4", 6'6". But they're playing with extremely small guards that are naturally going to give way.
It's only one. It's only Faku. I don't know if that's the biggest problem, that end of it. I think I actually kind of agree with you that it's a center, but I think part of this is having a lob threat, having somebody that puts pressure on the rim. I think we talked about this yesterday or the last show we did, but it seems like Faku's not going to score in the paint. Teams know that. There's nobody for him to throw a lob to, so there's no reason for him to get in there. The bench, I think there is a solution. I think that there is something. I just don't think they know their identity yet, and the season begins now. So I don't. There might be some pressure on the starters. You mentioned they might get off to a slow start. A slow start last year might have cost Isaiah Hartenstein his job in Denver. A slow start this year might cost Jokic an extra 50 minutes in the first 10 games. This stuff just adds up. Like, none of this stuff happens without consequence. And I don't know if I agree with you that it's going to be a slow start, but I do think it's going to be a pressure filled start.
Mm. Look, the numbers are, stats are always like subjective and it's preseason. I'm again, we're going off of what we got. And so when I look at the bench unit and I don't know what to make of it, right? When I'm just like, they're not good, you know, but I'm trying to like diagnose how, the numbers to me are like a guidepost when I don't necessarily understand, because like offensively, I don't think it's been great, but I don't think it's been horrible. I think it hasn't been explosive enough. And a lot of that is like, I've been very surprised at how mediocre the MPJ and bench units have been. I thought those would be better. Like it's basically if Bones isn't doing stuff, they look pretty miserable. And that's an issue. Mm-hmm. Just from a number standpoint, and I get it's numbers. I just, they have the seventh best bench offensive rating in the preseason. And they have the 28th ranked defense, which is why they are the first team. And they are the only team in the top seven with a negative net rating on the bench.
Wow.
So that to me is like the problem is now I don't, I Malone's commented this and you may mention of it. And I think it's accurate that if you've got bad offense, that's turning the ball over, yeah, that's going to hurt your defense. I think that's part of it. They don't connect, that they don't seem threaded together, all of that. But I do think that ultimately that bench had success last year in large part because it was surprisingly good defensively. Do you remember that? Like the bench.
Yeah, it was dominant defensively. I mean, it was really good defensively.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of wondering how they're going to get back there. And I do think that a lot of this is about the backcourt and trying to figure out those answers, which are complicated because I'm at the point of thinking the bench unit needs Monte Morris. And that means not giving Monte the starting job, which he deserves to have, but I'm not sure that they're better off with the best. I'm not sure the Nuggets are better off with the best five on the floor to start the game.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Poor Monte. yeah, I don't know. I might be with you. They might very well arrive at that exact point. The bench is going to be a problem. It was a problem last year for stretches. It might be a problem to start out this year. We'll see. And the thing that hides behind this, because I would typically say, well, they got Jokic. He's going to make up for so many mistakes that whatever's fine. But the one thing I'll say I'm worried about Jokic, and maybe this is just me coming into it. I'm worried about his mental fatigue. And that's why I say it'd be a pressure-filled start, because I think he can carry him. But if you get 20 games into this and you're 12 and, you know, 11 and 9, but Jokic had to be a MVP Jokic foot all the way down on the gas pedal for the first 20 games, I just worry he's going to look at that and go, Murray's not back for 40 more games. We're doing this. Like, this is too much. I need a 2-week hiatus.
I think that's a fair concern. Let's talk a little bit more about that. And we'll try and ease into some sense of comfort in the second segment. Let's do that after we take a break. But first let's talk about Sweat Block. It is cold out in Colorado. So I've been rocking the hoodie over a t-shirt, but it's still warm enough to where it gets a little hot inside, but I'm staying dry because of Sweat Block. Doctor created, doctor recommended, works for up to 7 days per use. They've got a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters themselves. It's been a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years with over 13,000 reviews and is currently number one in Amazon's antiperspirant category. So if you want to get away from any sort of concerns, whether it's for a date or a big business presentation or a public speaking engagement, or if you just don't want to be sweaty because it's gross, check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. We'll be right back on Locked On. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for making us part of your day, and thanks for making us your first listen each and every day. Really appreciate it. Adam Morris and Matt Moore talking about wrapping up the Nuggets preseason escapades as we head into the regular season. Not necessarily on the roaring note that you might want. We were gonna do like, okay, here's why this is all fine, but I want to go back to what you were talking about before, because I think Jokic is really important. You mentioned the mental fatigue. This is a feeling thing. And it's not based off of conversations with anybody in the front office or conversations or stuff that Jokic has said in post game. This is just like how I felt. It has felt a lot like Jokic comes in, screws around, the team goes up by 15 because he's amazing. Like, not even screws around. That's not accurate. What I mean by that is just like Jokic makes it look so easy. Like Jokic is in and they're just like, bam, 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 bam.
He's had some really good stretches.
Yeah. The bench comes in, completely screws up. And then Jokic comes, and we saw this a lot last year, where the first unit would just get out to this roaring start and the bench would give it all back. And then Jokic would come in at the end of that second quarter. And you could just tell that he was like, really, really? I gave you a 15 point lead and we're back here. Like, I got to do this again. And I do feel like that's a little bit of it is like, if Jokic gives you a 15 point lead, just keep it a 10 point lead. You can get outscored by five in, you know, 8 minutes of play, but just don't get completely destroyed. Yeah, I think the frustration thing is a concern because the best player in preseason outside of Nikola Jokic has been the 150-pound soaking wet. That's not actually his real weight. Bones Highland. Like, that's been the best player outside of Jokic in preseason.
To be fair, Bones has been really good.
He's been great.
This isn't just an insult to all the other guys. Bones has been that exciting. Yeah, you wish it would come in. It would be more exciting if he came in and like was the player that knocked out, you know, put the game out of reach or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, let's see. It is a tough first game, and it's actually a tough first week. But it's a tough first game getting Phoenix on the road, and for them to have to figure this out. Look, that might not be a feel good game. I don't know. That's a really tough team that you have to play right out of the bat. But you know, But we'll see. Some of this stuff could look. I do think we can overstate this easily because the starting unit. I'm guessing the starting unit is actually a net positive on this by quite a bit. And I would even say maybe the Jokic Porter just duo in the preseason is a net positive. They don't do those ratings on NBA.com for the preseason, but I would guess that those two have been positive together.
They have lineup data, really?
I'm on there right now.
Oh, you're right. Oh, this is a nightmare. Oh, how could you do this to me, NBA.com? Okay, so we know it's preseason, and that's the biggest reason why there's no reason to worry. I think the other thing is, even if Jokic is frustrated, one of the things I think is, Malone says this a lot, it's a long-time NBA adage, but I do think it's accurate. The best thing about the NBA is that there's always a game in 48 hours.
Right.
Like,
right.
Even if you're struggling, you just keep playing and then you work yourself out of it. And we've seen the Nuggets do this consistently. And hey, look, they may win that game in Phoenix just because they're up against the wall, right? Like, they're on national TV versus defending Western Conference champs. The Nuggets are always pretty good in these disadvantageous spots.
Right.
Like, that's where I think that they shine. So maybe they'll like have an absolutely phenomenal game. I think right now it looks pretty rough. Like, the Suns have looked good in preseason as it went on. But ultimately, there's a reason that like LeBron just actively laughed at the idea that preseason mattered.
Right.
You can just, it doesn't, you know. Ultimately it's just like a tune up and you're just trying to get into game shape and you're not really running all of the stuff that you run and all these type of things. You know, the Nuggets do get, like, even if they drop that game, it's like they have the Spurs 2 days later at home in the season opener, right?
Right.
So now maybe they'll lose that one. But even then, that's the thing, is like, you can go 0-2 and it's still fine. And
they went 1-4 last year.
And yeah.
A pretty good regular season. So,
yeah. Happens. I mean, I said they were not going to be a top four seed. I said that in like February.
Right.
You know, and they wound up third. So, yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible for that to happen for them.
Do you see a world in which Faku gets benched? Because Bones is in. I think PJ and Bones are in the rotation now. Rivers and Faku, is there a world in which they go with Rivers?
I mean, let's go through it. Okay, so Jokic, MPJ, Gordon, Barton.
Monte.
Yeah, Dozier. Bones, Jeff Green, Jamichael. That's nine.
Yeah.
I will say I think Faku gets it over Austin, and I don't necessarily think that that's fair. But, well, not fair. I don't know. See, here's the thing. And I was talking to somebody about this. Like, Austin has looked terrible offensively, but he's also given the most defensively, I feel, of anybody that's been off the bench. Like, he's made real hustle plays defensively.
As much as I agree, I don't know if his offense is, it's partially that he hasn't made shots. He's really a ball stopper though. a really, really bad one. And I think part that's his game. Like, he loves to catch the ball, hesitate, and jab step. And it's just really noticeable when you're out there with guys that you kind of have to get the ball popping in that second unit. You don't, outside of Bones, I don't know that you have anybody that just puts so much pressure on the defense without a play. So you need the ball popping, and he just stops it. So that's one thing I wonder about with him.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm a broken record here. I think you have enough ball poppers. I think you need some actual ball shooters. And I don't think,
well, I don't know if he's that either though. I mean,
that's fair, but he doesn't have like four air balls in two games. I mean, no, like, this matters. Like,
your brand was too strong that I could never tell when you're being serious.
I know this is the problem. I really screwed up by doing this caricature thing where I make all these jokes, because now I can't levy serious criticism because I've already established the position. It's frustrating.
Faku might have had the who's had the worst preseason, but I don't know. There's been a couple guys, but he's definitely, I think, harmed himself as much as anyone in terms of like what I expect from him this year.
There was a sequence in the Thursday night game. Dozier came up and passed it to Faku on the wing, and Malone immediately took a timeout and was raging. And I don't know whether it was because he was calling timeout and it wasn't heard, and so is the official, or if it was that he was mad at Dozier for swinging it to Faku, or he was mad with what Faku was doing. I don't know what was happening, but like, and that was like I thought a really interesting moment, but I was trying to figure it out. If you tell me that the rotation, I guess here's the bigger thing is, again, I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I don't even, like, they do have enough guards to me right now. With Barton back, you've got Monte, Barton, Bones. Dozier works as a point guard. He just does. He works as, and his shooting has been good.
Yeah.
Right? That's a four guard rotation. That's enough to get you through an NBA game. And if you do, if somebody gets hurt, then sure, deploy Faku or Rivers. But like, I don't necessarily think that either one should play. I think their bigger issue is that they have to play these multi-guard looks because that's where all their talent is. And they don't have enough on the wing. You know?
Yeah. That is definitely accurate. I feel good with Bones and Dozier, but maybe it is just a 9-man rotation. And that third guy is always some one of Barton, MPJ, or Gordon. Gordon would be interesting because he could at least be a rim threat, but I don't know. We'll see. There's questions around this team. They'll probably get sorted. And honestly, within 1 week of the season, they'll probably be completely different. Quite a lot of these will be answered and they'll be different ones. Yeah. But it's just, I do think that I wished for a feel good win. I think Michael Malone wished for a feel good win against Oklahoma that first night. And then none of this would have felt the way it does now. But you know, that being said, they got a week to kind of get ready for it. I imagine they'll practice Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then like a light practice on Tuesday. So you get a lot of practice time to kind of prepare for opening night.
It's true. It's true. Let's take a break. We'll continue this conversation. I want to talk about Aaron Gordon for a little bit, and then we'll kind of wrap up the conversation as we head into the dead time, the quiet time before the start of the season. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, we're back and better than ever. That's betonline.ag, that is. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. Bet myself on a round robin parlay featuring the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won on Thursday night. I did not lay the points. Woo! Would have been bad for me as a 7-point favorite. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. I am absolutely betting against the Broncos this weekend. I'm back, baby. Betting against those Broncos.
Man. Betting for the Raiders, though. Does it feel a little weird?
Yeah, it does feel gross. I'm also probably betting against the Chiefs again, though. So, because wah-wah. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. Football, basketball, boxing, and your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. We'll be right back on Locked On. Thanks for making Locked On Nuggets your first listen each and every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, where our guy Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. It's free and available on all platforms. Final segment here on Locked On Nuggets. Adam, Aaron Gordon is fascinating to me because of all the players on the Nuggets, to me, he looked like the player that was most, nah, man, it's preseason. That was the impression that I got from him, was that Aaron Gordon, despite being in great shape and having a lot of energy, was in all these games, was very much in, nah, it's preseason.
Maybe. I think what was interesting with regards to him is how many threes the Nuggets are taking. And because I noticed just him taking, more threes than I would have liked, but he wasn't alone. It was the entire team doing that. He shot 33%, took three a game. I don't know. To me, that was the thing that stood out to him the most, is that he just kept firing off shots that I was like, oh, what are we doing here?
So you don't want him taking that many threes?
I don't, no. Huh. I'm putting pressure on the rim.
I don't.
Or just not settling. I mean, like, just keep the ball moving. This offense finds good shots.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I kind of want to, like, his three-point stroke has looked pretty good. I kind of want to see him shoot. I actually think I want to see him shoot because I'm serious. I don't have a lot of confidence in like his little hooks anymore. I don't know.
I'm not trying to replace him with those. I'm just keep the ball moving, man. Almost has to be Torrey Craig-esque out there.
That's worrisome. Bones averaging 7.6 threes per game.
It's impressive.
Not per 36 minutes. Per game. He's okay, look at this. This is
for 28 minutes. Yeah.
That's insane. I didn't notice that. Oh my God. He's averaging 10 threes per 36.
Get him on Steph Curry-esque. I mean, that's what's so funny about Bones, is he really is a next generation player.
Yeah. Also, here's what's crazy. Like, I mean, you heard me. Like, I've complained. Like, I was like, I don't think Michael Porter Jr. has played well. Yeah, 49% from the field, 45%.
Right. I noticed that earlier. 75%
from the plus five, plus minus average per game, right. Averaging 18 points per game. Like,
yep. Absolutely.
Like, this is why MBJ is maddening. It's like you watch him and you're like, that wasn't good. And then you look at the end results and you're like, gosh, that was good.
Sometimes it's really all that matters with him, yeah. Is that he just makes all these shots.
Yep. I don't know. I get what you're saying about, I mean, I think I have more confidence in Gordon's three than you do. In that,
if you have any confidence in it, you have more confidence than me.
Wow. Harsh. He was shooting.
I mean,
40%.
It's also like, Matt, it's harsh, but let's just look at his numbers year by year.
But he was shooting 40% from three last season before the trade.
37%, but okay.
I thought it was 40. I could have sworn it was
37.5%. He's a career 32% shooter. I think that's where he'll be, 32, 33. It's fine for him to take him. I'd like to see him contribute offensively in more ways than he did as the preseason went on. But again, maybe it is completely different on opening night. We'll find out. I don't remember preseason last year. Do you? I remember it 2 years ago when Michael Porter made his debut, because of course I was looking for that every single game, but I don't know if I remember anything from the preseason last year. And if I don't remember anything from it, my guess is I'm not going to remember anything from this preseason either.
Probably not. I don't remember it. I certainly don't remember it. It was a blur. I mean, that entire rush was just a blur from the end of the season through free agency. Like, I barely remember free agency, you know?
Yeah.
So short last year. I mean, it was three preseason games. So I remember the start of the season very vividly. That's why I remember. It was like how much we were like, oh no. Where it was just very evident from the start of those loss of the Kings, where you're like, oh geez. I will say this. So as somebody that has a title, multiple bets on the Nuggets to win the title and on their over for win total and the under on their seeding, I've heavily bet the Nuggets this year. I haven't bet Jokic for MVP. It crossed my mind today. Like I bet 10 different players for MVP and he's not one of them. And I'm kind of like, am I missing out here?
Like, one thing I'll say is watching Giannis in the preseason, I always wonder about the confidence boost you get from actually getting over the hump. And he looks like a guy that is now both just in DGAF mode, doesn't no longer gives any any cares, any worries. And that's a scary thing.
Yeah, let's bounce around the league a little bit. Like, we've talked Nuggets. Let's talk about the league a little bit. The Lakers have now gone 0-6 in the preseason. Do you know the last time they went winless in preseason, Adam?
When was it?
2012-13, the this is going to be fun year.
Wow.
That's the last time that happened.
Look, AD and LeBron are going to be great. I'm still going to buy it, but I've said this from the get-go. That team doesn't make as much. They scare me less than they have in previous years. This is the least scared I've been the last 3 years of this Lakers team.
I wrote 30 win total previews, so I went deep dive on each and every team. One of the things I wrote about in theirs was I really feel like they tried to fix something that wasn't broken.
Yep, I agree.
Like, they were so disappointed with how the team performed without LeBron and AD that they felt like they had to change it.
Yep.
And I'm like, but you built that team to be better built around LeBron and AD.
I love this take.
And I'm sorry. They completely screwed up with the Marc Gasol situation. He was perfect for them.
Yeah, of course.
And Dwight may have had a good series against Jokic 2 years ago. A year ago. Oh, God, that's so weird.
Two seasons ago, a year ago.
But I do wonder if there's diminishing returns there as Dwight gets older and Jokic gets better. And that's really why you have Dwight. Like, you literally have Dwight for Jokic. Like, that's right. Why he's on the team. They're already very injured. Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, and THT are already on the shelf. I mean, it's I'm at like DEFCON 4.25 with them, which I was ready to be like, they're gonna be awesome before. Yeah. I'm a little concerned after watching them in preseason. The Blazers are another team that's a little bit yikesy. It's very interesting to me. I've said that, like, I get a lot wrong. Suns fans are very quick to remind me of all the things I got wrong, specifically when I picked the Nuggets over the Suns in last year's playoffs. They're still mad about that. Very mad about it. But one thing I do feel like I got right was when the Blazers revealed that they were going to try and basically emulate the Nuggets scheme, not the Nuggets, but just they're going to try and emulate the same scheme the Nuggets run, playing two at the level. And the Wolves said the same thing. And I was like, I like the Wolves are doing it. I don't think it's going to work with Portland because I don't think Nurkic can move well enough at the level. And Dame can't and CJ can't aggressively play over the screen well enough to put pressure. And it's been a disaster. Like, they're constantly in rotation. The Blazers look a mess.
So interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Preseason. The Suns looked bad in the beginning and have looked awesome since.
Let me ask you about Brooklyn. Obviously, they're the big story, but are you lower on them at all than you were 2 weeks ago?
I mean, look, they're – I would say no, because I had already lowered them after I did a deep dive on them. Like, I still think – I bet them to win 60-plus because I got a big juicy number on it. And I think that there's a good chance that they can just breeze their way to that. I think that they're vulnerable. Everyone talks like this is a juggernaut, and every juggernaut team I've ever seen was a monster offensively, but at least good defensively. Like, didn't have to be great. You don't have to be great, especially with where the league's at. This Brooklyn team is reliant on so many subpar defenders. And to me, when I did the deep dive on them, this was the biggest thing, is everyone kind of took last year as proof of concept where, okay, yeah, but they had this great record even though the big three was out. So with more of the superstars, they'll be great. They'll be even better. I'm like, I don't think that's how it works. Like, it's chaos theory. Like, everything changes. The season's different. The COVID stuff's different. The schedule's different. Like, this isn't that year. You're not, you know me, I'm always talking about this. Each season, you're a different organism.
Yep, totally.
I don't think they're going to be the same organism. And that's before we get into the whole fact of them dealing with this Kyrie nonsense.
Right.
So I think that like they're rightfully the favorites. I do not consider, like, I am not in, the season's over. It's going to be Lakers and Nets, and we're just wasting time. I'm not right. there.
I agree. That's how I would put it too. Last one for I have for you. What about the Pelicans?
I love all their young talent, but there is just nobody to lift them up and make it work together. Like, I like NAW and I love Trey Murphy. I think he's going to be great. And yeah, I like
Trey Murphy.
I like Jackson Hayes. I think he's goodish. I don't think I'm not as high on him as Pelicans fans are, who really believe that there's something there. I haven't seen him like make the leap. Kyra still doesn't look like he's ready to make the leap.
To me, it just comes down to Zion. The roster, we can do this thing, but when your centerpiece is a distraction, and not a distraction the way like a Ben Simmons or a Kyrie are a distraction right now, but just a little bit of a, is he the leader of that team?
Look, I think the biggest, there's a thing, the Pelicans bloggers picked this up today, and I thought it was really, they're just really keen on this stuff. Like, they're defensive of their team, like all fans are, but they also pick up on stuff. They're sharp as hell. They noted that Griffin, in his comments, this was the thing. Griffin said that Zion said that his surgery scans were good. That's a really weird thing to say. Not, yeah, and we talked to the doctors and everything looks good. Zion told me the scans were.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so again, I will maintain that I'm just not going to believe Zion's going to not, like, this injury, this foot surgery makes me more certain he's going to sign the extension.
Right.
It's just too
right.
much of an injury risk. He's got to get the guaranteed money. It's $200 million. Take the $200 million guaranteed and don't worry about it. But man, like, I just, it feels like there's going to be more drama. It feels like it's going to be more uncertain.
I've sold all Pelican stock. I am not a believer.
Yeah. So I think they're going to be out of the playoff picture. I think the Wolves take their play-in spot.
Interesting. Okay.
That's what I think. So, who else looks good?
Memphis, I think, looks good.
Yep. Memphis is going to be good. Desmond Bane.
They'll be higher than people think.
Yep.
Dallas, it's hard to know if Dallas looks good or if New Orleans looks that terrible, but Dallas did have a 50-point win. Was it New Orleans or was it Charlotte they beat? Maybe it was Charlotte they beat.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who I also think is going to be terrible, but they took a pretty good roster and made it worse. But no offense to Mason, who I'll always love, but I actually think replacing Cody Zeller with Mason Plumlee is a downgrade. This is my life, Adam, is thinking deeply about is Mason Plumlee a downgrade for Cody Zeller? These are the questions.
That one's a kind of meaningful though. That one's meaningful. That one's not that crazy.
Which I think, what else? Houston should be beatable. Pelicans should be beatable, but the Nuggets always have trouble with them. The Kings are still the Kings. The Rudy Gay thing with Utah is actually kind of interesting just because it's going to delay their ability to try new stuff. That's really the problem there, is they're just going to have to be the same Utah team to start the year. Because they want to try different stuff. And that's kind of it. I'll just say look, one team is going to surprisingly drop out of the playoff race or be in play-in contention. It happens every year. And one team is going to shock everybody and be much higher than we expect. Like, there are surprises that the season has for us. That happens every year. I still firmly believe that the Nuggets are okay. I don't have, for all their preseason issues, like, if we get to All-Star and they're 500 and struggling, maybe we'll look back at preseason and be like, we knew in preseason, but I don't know, man. I just keep looking at it and being like, they're going to have 35 minutes of the reigning MVP and the player that lifts up his team as much as anybody, maybe outside of Steph Curry.
Right.
And they're going to be pretty good. Yeah. Like, their roster's good. They're well coached. They'll be all right.
Yeah.
I do think that they should have given Michael Mullen a break and gotten a win just so that.
Would have been nice. Would have been the nice thing to do.
Tough stuff there. Real quick, if you guys, just before we go, if you like to read books and you like to read books about basketball, order Chris Herring's book on the Knicks in the 90s. I got an advanced copy of it. Started it last night. It is absolutely terrific. You especially, I think, will enjoy it, Adam. It's got a lot of anecdotes that are entertaining, especially about the violence that happened in training camp. It's pretty incredible.
That's crazy.
Do you have any other final preseason takes?
Not really. Bones looks great. I mean, he single-handedly is making the season super exciting. I did not expect him, even in my most optimistic take, to look as good as he has. So that alone is going to give some texture to the season that should lift it up.
I know that we're running late. I just wanted to ask you, should Bones start?
No,
I'm serious. You're laughing. I kind of think.
I mean, look, maybe he gets to that point. He surprised me today, and he has the talent too. I mean, he does. As this has gone on, we've seen more of the rookie-ish mistakes from him, but not right away. You got to make every guy earn it step by step by step. And look, if he keeps doing what he did in the preseason through 20 games, and you know, there's something to be said for maybe there's a bench starter, you know, we need to mix things up, maybe, but right out, like right now, come on, we gotta make him earn more than 15 minutes at the moment.
I don't want to bench Monte because I don't think he's good. I want to bench Monte because I think the bench needs him.
Could be. I mean, look, the bench needs something. We need something.
So, yeah, that's my thing. Is like, I think Monte needs, whether it's Bones or PJ, I do think one of those guys needs to start a point guard next to him. That's my take. All right, that's going to wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have yourselves a great Friday. Tomorrow, Chris Dempsey from Altitude joins me. That'll be tomorrow's episode. We'll get you into the weekend, and then we'll be back next week. And starting on Sunday night show going into Monday, Ab and I will start previewing. We'll just spend 3 days previewing the first one regular season game. We'll have more coverage from practice, et cetera, on Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you guys again next time.